Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hi, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, episode 335. I'm Adam Walker.
Hey, I'm Mickey Mellon. Glad to be back.
Yeah, filling in. I think this is the last time you'll fill in. Sanjay's going to be back on the show, I believe, next week, and we're going to give him a really hard time about it. So,
yeah, you should.
Yeah, I mean, everybody needs a break. I get it. You know, I'm a lot. So, but
indeed, but,
yeah.
As long as we talk about Sanjay a lot on here, we'll be good.
So, yeah, that's it. That's the trick. Well, listen, we have a lot. I mean, we have a lot to get through, but a lot of really good articles. So let's just dive right in. What do you have for us first, Mickey?
So the first one is a revolutionary new Google feature hidden under the More tab that shows links to web pages. So it's amazing. Who would have thought such a feature? But it's a real story. It's a real thing because Google has so much AI stuff now in there. You can actually now go to filter, or you'll be able to go filter just to show links to web pages in the Google results instead of all the other stuff. So it's kind of like right now you can go to under tools and see verbatim, which means like actually show me the keywords I searched for, not all the other stuff you thought I might have wanted instead. So it's like They're hiding just basic features further and further away. So
that's hilarious. And more on the Google AI search here in a minute. But I think it is funny that like it's coming full circle now.
Yeah.
It's like now you have to like click deep into it just to get to the basic results that you originally wanted.
You were so used to, yeah.
All right, next up, Microsoft announces new PCs with AI chips from Qualcomm. So I guess, you know, they're going to, it's like more of a Copilot integration. They're going to go super deep into AI integrated everything. It's going to take over the entire world in our lives, right?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I was excited when I first saw this because I didn't realize it was new PCs. I'm a Windows guy and I'm like, okay, Copilot uses ChatGPT and like, okay, if they integrate more of that, that could be cool. Like, oh no, it's not integrating to Windows per se. It's integrating to these new PCs with these specific chips, which
yeah,
I guess is kind of how they have to do it for some of the on-device stuff, which Sanjay would be happy about, I guess, not sending as much off to the cloud. But
yeah,
it doesn't really do much for me because I'm not buying a new PC anytime soon, and I wouldn't buy one just for that, I don't think. So at least not at this point. But good for them, I guess. We'll see where things go.
Yeah, fair enough. But,
yeah. Next up, Android will be able to detect if your phone has been snatched. So this was super interesting because I figured, okay, it's some like enhancement to the lost my phone feature, whatever. No. From the article, it says, theft detection lock works by recognizing the unusual motions that would indicate someone has yanked your phone out of your hand or a table in front of you. I'd be very curious if they could make that work.
I mean, not only that, but how do they accommodate for children, right? Because
right,
like
that's
how
what I'm saying.
Like
yeah,
small children, like grabby small children, you know. But one thing I did think that was interesting as I read the article is that they do have a feature where you can go to a website and enter in like a specific URL and enter in a specific code to let it know that your phone has been lost, and then it will lock your phone down. So
right,
I thought that was pretty cool and a little bit unusual. But I think that seems really smart to me to be able to at least do that.
Yeah. And they've always had some pretty cool stuff for that. Like for years now, you can just go to Google and type in find my device and it'll find your phone and stuff. And you can ping it and make it say noise or find GPS, like all the similar stuff to Apple, but on any place you're logged into Google, which is kind of neat. And so they're just taking that further. But I'm curious about the detecting a snatch of your phone.
Like
I'm not convinced. I think it's going to be like the Apple Watches that can call 911.
Yeah.
And they call 911 to everyone at Disneyland when they're on a roller coaster. So
I think, yeah, there seems like there's some secondary consequences that might come from this particular feature. So
I think so.
We'll see. All right. Next up, Utah locals are getting cheap 10 gigabits per second? Gigabits per second. Yeah, I got it right. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Thank you. Cheap 10 gigabits per second fiber, thanks to local governments. So basically, they essentially reduced the monopolistic sort of control of internet provider companies, much to their chagrin. And it worked out that local residents ended up getting much cheaper and much, much faster internet connectivity because of that. I think it was like $45 a month sometimes for the
gigabit. And then like $150 for 10 gig, which is crazy and awesome. And you said it right though. It's just small pockets of the US that do this because the big companies, the companies we all use probably for our internet, fight so hard with lawsuits and stuff to stop people from having choice. And they have so much pull and money and power that they're largely able to do it. But this community in Utah had enough people willing to fight. They pulled it off. And any community that's willing to fight can do it. It's just most people just don't care enough. Like, Comcast is cheap enough, whatever. You know, you need more people to fight. So
That's right.
Congrats to them for pulling that off. Now they have amazing, fast, cheap internet. So
it's good. I love it. Maybe it can come to more places.
Yeah. Scarlett Johansson says she is shocked and angered over the new ChatGPT voice. And then followed up the day later from OpenAI saying OpenAI didn't copy Scarlett Johansson's voice for ChatGPT records show. So this is a whole weird thing because I've been playing with this a lot. You've seen some of the stuff I've talked to with it, and it's fantastic. I mean, it's really cool what they're doing, but it seems
so.
Yeah.
I'm curious your thought here. Yeah. Several things here. Number one, OpenAI actively reached out to Scarlett Johansson to ask her to be one of the voices. Mm-hmm. She turned them down. Then, according to that second article that we put out, OpenAI has records where they actively recruited voice talent, and they did not specifically specify that it had to be Scarlett Johansson type, though that doesn't prohibit them from actively looking for it and just not having specified it, right? So records show whatever you want records to show. There's that. Then there's the whole, like, when it got released, Sam's whatever CEO guy's
Sam Altman.
Yeah. Thank you. Sam Altman's tweet went out, and the tweet was just her. And of course, her is the film that Scarlett Johansson was in 2013, where she was an AI voice.
Right, that was a bad tweet,
and that was his only tweet. Like, there's a one word tweet, her, and then they magically have a voice that does sound shockingly like Scarlett Johansson. So. I mean, there's definitely bad acting on the part of OpenAI there. Yeah. There has to be. And of course, then, you know, Scarlett Johansson doing, because like, look, what I love about her is she doesn't put up with any, like, she is going to sue the crap out of you if she has a right to do it. And I love that. And so she basically said she's going to sue him, and they, of course, took the voice down. So, I think this is a bad on the part of OpenAI all around.
Because they had asked her again like 2 days before they released it, and she said no again. Like, I can't imagine they would have been able to redo things that quickly. But I've also seen things where people have compared it to Rashida Jones, saying it sounds just like her too. Like, it's not an uncommon voice.
No. I mean,
only something you have, but it certainly looks bad.
But I think it would have been fine if Sam Altman would have not originally asked Scarlett Johansson, turned her down, asked her again, turned her down, tweeted her. Like, all that hadn't been true, it would have been totally fine. But that wasn't true.
Yeah, them denying it reminds me of that Vanilla Ice clip we've all seen where he says, I didn't steal that thing. Mine goes dun 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 dun. And the original was dun 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 dun. Like, he makes like one little thing tiny bit different. Like, see, I didn't steal it at all. It's completely original. Like, that's kind of what they're doing here. Like, it's not Scarlett Johansson. She sounds like this, and our AI sounds like this. You know, they sound identical to you and me, but they're insisting they're different. But yeah.
I love that. All right. Next up, these two go together. So I'm gonna introduce these next two together. So one's an older article, OpenAI's Moonshot Solving the AI Alignment Problem, which I have a lot of things to say about. And next, quote, I lost trust while the OpenAI team in charge of safeguarding humanity imploded. And so what you need to know is there were two key people that were on the team for AI alignment. Now, AI alignment is this concept of aligning AI's trajectory and wants and needs and thinking along with humanity's, okay? And the two key people that were leading this team basically said, I lost trust specifically in the company and Sam Altman in particular, that the company is focusing on new and shiny things more than on AI safety. And they've now left presumably in protest against this. Now, here's the thing. The concept of alignment, okay? So that's the idea that AI's path, AI's future, AI's desire, trajectory, whatever you want to call it, will align with humanity's. I don't see how that's even possible, because think about it for a minute. So how often do humans align? Like, you've got a business partner. How often are you perfectly 100% aligned with your business partner? Like, that's a real question. How often? Like,
well,
perfectly.
In our case, quite a lot. Yeah,
but not perfectly, right?
Not perfectly,
like,
no.
Like, yeah. maybe 98% aligned,
there
right?
You go,
or even with your spouse. How often are you perfectly aligned with your spouse? Like probably
less than that,
probably less than 98%.
Yeah.
So you're saying that we're going to perfectly align the trajectory of a super intelligence that we're creating with the trajectory of humanity. If they're off by 0.1%, that's going to be enough for an extinction level event, I think. Like that's what I'm saying. Like, okay. Like there could be, think about all of the different sci-fis out there that are like, okay, well, we're going to make sure we're going to create AI that has humans' best interest in mind. And they end up killing the humans because they find some logical workaround where killing the humans is the most humane thing to do.
Yeah, if they say there's not enough food in the world, they say, well, the solution is to kill a bunch of humans. Then therefore, there's enough food for the rest.
So, exactly. Yeah. Right. So I think like this idea of AI alignment is just kind of a false, almost ridiculous idea. Like it feels very difficult to me to get to. Then add to that the fact that the two people over AI alignment at OpenAI have now left. Like that feels like a really bad sign to me. It makes me a little nervous. How about you?
So I think the problem is everyone wants alignment, meaning go slow, like slow down, chill out. Let's take this easy, figure out what we're doing. Whoever goes slow loses.
That's right. Unless you can go slow.
Right. I mean, if OpenAI says we're going to take it slow, then Google zooms by them and Apple zooms by and they lose. Yeah. So unless you can get Google and Apple and Microsoft and OpenAI and Amazon and everyone to all agree, we're going to take it easy and build these things together, like, which I can't fathom that will happen. Whoever decides to do it the right way won't be a player. So it won't matter.
Right.
We're all going to use the one that does it the wrong way. That's way cooler and has better voices from Scarlett Johansson, you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it is an arms race. Like there's no doubt about it. And I think the safety is out the window. And I think that this could have profound implications on, I mean, maybe not on like human extinction. Like maybe we don't go that far, but it could have profound ramifications on the economy, on knowledge workers. I mean, I think, you know, I saw a CEO of, I think, Support Now was talking about how in the next 5 years, every single business process, every single thing is going to be affected by AI, simplified, optimized by AI. And that's going to put people out of work. And it's going to be, I mean, there are big, big ramifications that are coming.
Well, yeah. So, and we get into things like, voting and all that kind of stuff and influencing elections. And I mean, there's a lot it could do very poorly. And it probably will do a lot of it poorly. So it'll be interesting to watch.
But speaking of poor AI, what's the next article we got?
Humane is looking for a buyer after the AI pin's underwhelming debut. So we talked about this recently and how awful the Humane AI pin was. But good news for you, Adam. They're only looking for somewhere between $750 million and $1 billion.
Listen,
if you need an investment on something that no one will invest in, like, I think that price will come down.
I'll go look through the couch cushions and see what I can come up with. I'm going to say this about another article in a minute. This feels like technology at a valuation that is so unrealistic, it's laughable to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't imagine it being worth even a quarter of what they're saying.
I can't figure out how it's worth much of anything. I mean, it's nice hardware. I mean, everyone says the hardware was built well and stuff, but that's about it. But the software needs to get fixed, and the fix is from any other company that can provide better AI in the software. So you have a nice little pin hardware for, $250 million is a way overshot for what that's worth. I can't fathom.
Way overshot.
Yeah, I feel bad because they're thinking in terms of the effort they put in and, all that, but that's, I mean, you can't sell anything that way. It's not sold based on your effort. I mean,
sunk cost. It's done.
It is.
It's gone. Nothing you can do about it. Yeah, it's crazy to me. And I really did want the Humane pen to be kind of cool, to be sort of the next evolution of technology. I love the whole non-screen idea, but it's just not there. Every review I've looked at is like, this thing is terrible. It's not there. Yeah. So
it does feel like at some point we'll get away from the phone into devices. We'll have our smart ring and glasses and watches and just like the phone will be in pieces on our body. And that may be a piece of it, but we're a long way off from it. I think that's what killed them. They were almost too future looking. They were already trying to separate it from the phone when really at this point for the next 5 or 10 years, it's got to just connect to your phone and give you stuff there. And
that's right. That's
so
right.
Kudos on them for giving it a shot. But
I think they're 10 years ahead of their time. Maybe 20. It's harder now. All right. Next up, CSAM generated by AI is still CSAM, DOJ says, after rare arrest. So if you don't know what CSAM is, we're going to refer to it as extremely inappropriate images of minors, for lack of a better description here for our listeners. But essentially, from the Department of Justice perspective, if it's AI generated or not, doesn't matter. It's still inappropriate. It's still we're not going to have it, and we're going to arrest you. So I think that's probably a good thing. I mean, Mickey, what are your thoughts?
Well, there's two sides to it. So on one hand, if children aren't being exploited for this, that's kind of the issue behind it. Generally is the children that are being exploited. No children being exploited here, then maybe let them do it so they don't go after children. But on the other hand, if you allow it at all, it makes it impossible to ever catch the real people again, because they're going to be just millions and billions of those photos floating around, which there may be already, but at least if you say those are all illegal, then you can still go after folks for that and catch catch the people in the meantime. So I think it is probably the right move. Although,
yeah,
it's a tricky one both ways. I don't have a good answer. I don't like defending it as a, it's okay for them to do, but I mean, it almost feels like a free speech ish thing. If it's not a real person, I don't know, but I think, yeah, again, if you let it go, you're gonna have to let it all go. You'll never catch the real predators again. And that's problematic.
It'll flood the market. It'll become such a problem. And there's a point coming in the very near future where AI generated images versus regular images are going to be almost indistinguishable. And therefore, I think it's going to be important to go ahead and eliminate the ones that need to be eliminated as a whole category, as opposed to not. So, I think from a free speech perspective, that might be a difficult one. It makes even me that glad that tough, I'm not a lawyer. So,
correct. Yeah. A lot of weird stuff there. So, speaking of weird stuff, Amazon plans to give Alexa an AI overhaul and a monthly subscription price. So, I mean, the first part I agree with.
Yeah.
They've fallen. They haven't done anything in years. Like, it's them and Siri have both just kind of sitting around just being the same as they were years ago. And I know Apple has some big stuff planned for their show next month with Siri. I'm curious. There's rumors that might involve OpenAI. We'll see. They're doing something. But Amazon's like, I guess we have to do something too and get legit again. So,
yeah.
You have some around your house, I think, right? Some Alexas?
Not really. Anyways, we tended to move sort of toward Google Home, sort of accidentally, and it's fine. We don't really use any of them, honestly. Like if I'm like we use our phones. I don't use any of the speakers hardly ever anymore. So about the only use that they ever get is because we don't have a landline. So when one of our kids is home that does not have a cell phone, they can use the smart speaker to call one of us, and that's probably about the only use that it ever gets at this point. So
we use the intercom feature. You can tell it to broadcast. It'll say broadcast, whatever. And it'll spit it on all the speakers to tell them to come down for dinner. During dinner, if there's a question like how tall is LeBron James, we'll ask it some stupid stuff like that. And then I control some lights with it. When I walk in my office, I tell it to turn my lights, turn them off. But about it. It could be a lot lamer and still do.
How often do you want to know LeBron James's height at dinner? Like, that's a really odd.
Interesting. Yeah. You don't know his height either, do you? So, yeah.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. But I'm just curious, like, what conversation pops up in your household about, like, why you need to know?
Well, we were talking about football player heights yesterday. We were talking about how tall J.J. McCarthy is. Because football quarterbacks look short, but they're really not. Like, J.J.'s a small dude out there. And he's, like, 6'3". You know, like, Peyton Manning looks like a normal size guy. He's, like, 6'8". You know? It's interesting. So, yeah. We got into that a little bit, but yeah. So maybe Alexa will get better. And again, I like the competition on those smart speakers to maybe get them going, because it has been stale for, 4 or 5 years now. They haven't really improved much.
So okay. Well, next up in this segment anyway, Google says the wild mistakes in AI overviews are, quote, just isolated examples. And so people are popping up on the internet with like a lot of examples of Google's AI saying things that are not correct. Like for example, if you want the cheese to stay on your pizza, you need to add glue as an ingredient so that the cheese stays. That's a good example. Probably not a great thing to do.
Or if you're cooking poultry, make sure the internal temperature reaches at least 102 degrees, which I guess is fair. It should be at least that. It should be at least more, but
be at least that plus 63, I think, degrees. Yeah, right? 165 like degrees. Sound about right. Yeah. What are some of the other ones, Mickey?
Yeah, they'll see. Adding more oil to a gasoline or paraffin-based oil fire will only make it worse. However, adding more oil to a cooking oil fire can help put it out. So, wouldn't recommend that. So if you have a cooking oil fire, don't add more cooking
oil
to it.
Don't add more oil. Probably not good. It's a bad idea.
I saw another one. I don't have it in front of me, but it was recommending for health concern. They said you drink two liters of urine to help clear yourself up. And that may clear things up somehow, but probably not the way they intended.
Scarily, I know people do that and historically done that. And that just
seems, still, there's a subset, but that's 2 liters is a whole different animal too.
That seems awful to me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I feel almost kind of bad for Google in that people have seen these results billions of times already just from the searches, and they are going to find some bad ones, but these are pretty bad. So this goes back to speed versus safety. And this is people going to do dumb things like,
And the glue on the pizza one, somebody traced that back to where it originated, and it originated as a part of a Reddit thread. And of course it was said sarcastically on the Reddit thread. And so, but then obviously that part of that thread was a part of the training for the large language model, and it got scooped up as fact instead. And so you just gotta be careful, like where they're training these things and what, what quality of information is available in the training materials. So,
well, like you said earlier, it's an arms race. I mean, these models get better with more data. They get more realistic.
Yeah.
Realistic-ish with more data. And so more data just means throw as much as we can. So I can't remember who it was, but paid millions to Reddit to get access to all that data, which is largely good stuff, but also all the bad stuff's in there too. And it's all ready to be used. So,
there's a lot of stuff on Reddit that I don't want any AI recommending to me ever, ever, ever. So, but there's stuff that's good too. You're right.
Yeah. There's some.
Well, why don't you do the next two articles together here, Mickey?
Yeah, so Neuralink's first user is, quote, constantly multitasking with his brain implant, and Elon Musk's Neuralink gets FDA greenlight for a second patient as first describes his emotional journey. So, I read a bit about this with Nolan Arbaugh, the guy that got the first one, and it is fascinating. Even with some of the issues they've had, he's still saying, I mean, it's amazing. He said he used to have to hold a stick in his mouth to control an iPad. That was basically the only way he could do anything. And if you drop the stick, someone has to come pick it up for him. And he just kind of poke at an iPad with it. Now he has, quote, nearly full control of the computer. He can browse the web and play computer games whenever he wants, just from thinking about where the cursor goes. And like, yeah, I couldn't find a video of it anywhere, but it sounds amazing. He's just in awe of this technology. And yeah, again, as we said before, I wouldn't do this. I guess maybe if I was in the right situation, I might. If I was a quadriplegic, I could. But I do like that people are doing it and working out the bugs, as it were. And yeah, it could be beneficial to the rest of us later. So yeah, they're on to a second patient. We'll see how it goes. But his, despite the issues they've had, is overall seemingly a success. So yeah.
I mean, I think considering the improvement in his quality of life versus the risks that were associated with him doing it. And of course, I don't know what all those risks were, but I think I would have done it in his situation for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it makes sense. I think it's a great opportunity for these
for
people.
Sure. Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Next up, Trump's social media company posts Q1 revenue of $770,500 and net losses of $327.6 million. So, yeah. And apparently he owns like 62% of the company, and that percentage is on paper apparently worth like $5.5 billion. Yeah, and again, like this goes back to, why? Like this, that valuation makes absolutely no sense. There is there's no one on earth that would pay Donald Trump $5.5 million for his stake in Truth Social. That
billion.
Dollars. I don't think they pay him $5.5 million.
No, they shouldn't.
It makes no sense. Yeah. The math isn't there. It just inflated nonsense. I don't understand it.
The math on this is amazing, because usually you hear of companies that lose millions. Like Peacock lost $825 million in Q4, but had revenues of like $900 million. So usually it's millions and millions. Like these guys lost $327 million on revenue of $770,000. So less than $1 million in revenue to lose $320. Like it's a whole crazy thing.
And I also like, okay, so this is probably a dumb question. Where is that money going? What are they spending it on? Like what? It's happening. I don't know.
I mean, you don't know staff they have in server. It's got to be staff and servers and all that kind of stuff. But even that, I don't know how you get anywhere near that number, because they shouldn't need that many servers for it at this point. So.
Well, they shouldn't need that many servers, and they shouldn't need that much staff. Like it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, to get to $327 million for a quarter is, so you're talking over $1 billion a year. Like
Doesn't make any sense.
I don't get that. So Microsoft outage affects Bing, Copilot, DuckDuckGo, and ChatGPT internet search. So it went down for a while. Stuff happens. I mean, it's unfortunate, but I try not to point fingers at any of these, because as soon as you point at the other guy, yours goes down. And I mean, as long as it's not a long outage or hacking or something, I mean, I think it kind of stinks. I'm sure a lot of people were freaked out. Speaking of those people running servers, it was a bad day for a lot of those folks. But I mean, what do you think here?
My favorite thing is that I didn't notice and I don't care.
Yeah, I noticed from your article, because even though I'm on Windows, I don't really use Bing or Copilot, or I use DuckDuckGo a little bit and ChatGPT some, but none of it. Yeah,
I use Bing only in the context of when I ask ChatGPT to search something for me and it uses Bing. I use Bing indirectly as far as that goes. So it's very, Bing is great for not being used by me.
Bing
personally.
Is fine. I mean, it's as good as Google, but it's probably better than Google these days, as bad as Google's getting. But
that's probably true.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, the internet is not forever. 38% of web pages from 2013 no longer exist. And honestly, like some of the best pages, like StumbleUpon was pretty great, right? It's not even around anymore, I don't think, right?
Yeah. So I'm thinking more just not even in terms of companies like that, but just the content. I mean, the stuff you would have stumbled then, half of that stuff that you would have stumbled upon is not there anymore. I mean, 38% from 2013 was just a couple years ago, right? wasn't that long ago, but
just a handful.
And it's pushing half of the internet from 2013 doesn't exist anymore, which is, makes me sad. Makes me thankful for archive.org and their Wayback Machine. If you've never gone there, archive.org, you can type in a web address and see, in many cases, most cases, historical versions of it. So I do that some with my own sites just to see what did I look like back then? What were the old versions? But any other site that went away or if a page isn't working or something, you can use that. So
yeah,
kudos to archive.org, but 38%. If you had made me guess, I would have guessed
10%.
Yeah.
I mean, 5%.
Fractions. That's, crazy.
It's wild.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
Oh, he's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot.
So 706 people named Kyle got together in Texas, but it wasn't enough for a world record. So, I wouldn't have guessed the world record either if you had made me guess, but it was Ivan some years ago with 2,300.
Yeah.
The issue here is Kyle did better last year. The Kyle gathering, they do it repeatedly. He had 1,400 people last year and only half as many this year. But
and it was in a city named Kyle in Texas for people named Kyle trying to break the record for people in one space with all the same name, I guess.
Yeah, but Kyle is, in the hundreds of most popular names. Like, it's way down the list. I think in Adams, a gathering of the Adams would probably do a lot better.
Yeah.
It would seem to be a lot more, so there you go.
Okay. Maybe I'll try to put that together. That
see if you can get 2,500 atoms together in one place and set a new record. That'd be great.
Yeah. I like it. All right. This last one from Weird and Wacky, I keep reading it thinking this has to be a parody article, but it was in the New York Post. So I don't know. Anyway, startup claims they've created AI head transplant system. Plans to perform first procedure within decade. So basically what they're saying is they can cut off a human's head and apply it to the body of someone that has gone brain dead. And then that person can live on. And this feels like a just terrible beginning to a sci-fi end of the world, AI taking over. The rich are harvesting bodies sort of scenario. Like, am I missing something here? Like, this feels like just terrible to me.
Well,
there's
a few terrible things. Two things stand out to me. One is they put AI in the headline just because AI gets clicks. Like, there's really nothing to do with AI. AI is going to help build the machines that make it quick or whatever.
Yeah.
But the other part is the big challenge to transplanting heads is the spinal cord, which why don't we just fix that first? Like, for the guy we talked about earlier that has Neuralink, like, if we could just repair it, if they have the technology to reattach spinal cords, like, let's focus on that technology first and use it for the thousands of people that it could help today. And then later you grow into like full heads. Because the rest of the stuff, if you want a monkey that can juggle flaming sticks, you need to get two things. You need to get a barrel for him to stand on and a monkey that can juggle flaming sticks. So people say, well, I'll get the barrel, you get the monkey. Like, you get the easy part first. So they need to let's pick the easy part here first. Get the spinal cord stuff and let's figure out the rest later. So
I mean, this does kind of beg the question. At what point does technology start to, like at one point does the potential for immortality start to begin with technology? Because like when you start talking about like you could just transplant your head to a different body, like that seems like if that's possible, like you could live 200 or 300 for 400 years at that point. But then there's also the whole like, at what point can you upload your consciousness into virtual reality and just exist on a server forever? And like, and honestly, I think we're getting closer to that potential point, which is kind of terrifying.
But then it becomes, is that you or not?
Well, yeah. And I think it becomes, I think it's a copy of you for sure. Right, like, I think it's just a copy of you at that point.
Right.
But even so, like, that's interesting and scary. So I don't even know. I don't know what to do with all that. Yeah. So anyway, all right. Well, that's a conversation for another day.
There you go.
Tech wreck, time to get your tech wreck.
All right, Mickey, what tech wreck do you have for us this week?
So I was thinking about this a bit, and I decided to do one that you've used before. Actually, I looked back. I think you did it in episode 269 and in episode 8. So Anki, the Space Repetition Flashcard app, which I use still like a beast. I'm on like a 2,200 day streak. I mean, years and years, but in some days I do more than others. But yeah, just it's a great space. So spaced repetition, for those that aren't familiar with that, is the idea of remembering things in gaps. Like, you remember something today and then remember it tomorrow, and then it'll push it out a week and then a month. And so I have thousands of cards in there, but any given day, I only need to do, in my case, a couple hundred, but in most people's case, a couple dozen maybe. But
yeah,
it's just a great app. I use every day just to learn, memorize quotes and ideas and faces and Bible verses and
mascots.
Yeah, mascots. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did all the college mascots, you know, in the country, which, yeah, I still forget some of them from time to time. But
all the college mascots in the entire country?
Well, of the top like 300 colleges. I can't remember which divisions I did, but all.
What's D1, Vanderbilt's D2. Mascot?
Vanderbilt Commodores. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. How did you do that so fast? That was,
well, that was an easy one though. It's more you get like San Diego State, which is like, I think the Aztecs, but it's the smaller ones that are more troubling, but yeah.
Okay.
How about Georgia Tech? You got that one?
I know it's the Yellow Jackets. I mean,
but that's a cool thing. Anki. I throw a lot of stuff in there that I want to remember. I put in quotes and ideas and authors of books I've read because people, you know, but then you can also download decks other people have made. So someone made a deck of these mascots. I'm like, cool, throw it in. You know,
nice.
And just so, yeah. So I spend a little time on it every day and flip through my cards and move on with my life. But ANKI, it's good. Free for Android, free for Windows, free for Mac, free on the web, and $25 for iPhone. So
yeah, there you go. Always fun.
Right, what do you got?
I'm going to recommend Read.ai. So it's another just kind of meeting AI note taker, you know, get the transcript, captures the video sort of thing. The reason I like it, so I think you recommended it to me.
Yeah, we use it for all our meetings. Yeah, it's fantastic.
So I've tried some other ones. What I liked about this one in particular, specifically, is that it'll tell me what percentage of time each person talked.
Yeah, I like that. And you see a little chart with the dashes. Yeah. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
And I like to try to talk less than other people if I can. So it's a good way for me to track that. And then also like the sentiment, like how engaged people were, how disengaged people were. Like, did you use non-inclusive language? Or
yeah, I get busted on that on every call basically for saying you guys. And it's like, no, you can't say that. It gets me on that. So, yeah.
Seriously? It flags it?
It flags you guys because that's not, yeah.
You know what's interesting is I used to say that a lot and I have intentionally shifted my language to you all instead.
Right. Yeah, I should. On purpose. So yeah, it's legitimately getting me. So yeah, I'll work on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So what do you like about Read AI?
Partly just because we often would forget to record meetings. So now it just shows up and records them for us. So we have it.
Yeah.
And then it's nice just to be able to toss to another teammate, say, hey, I had this call with so-and-so, check it out. And they can, with the Read version, at least they can kind of clip through it a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's AI overview is not great. It kind of picks weird ideas to pull from, but it's still an idea. It'll pull some of the to-dos. It'll say, Adam said he was going to do this. Mickey was going to do that. And like, some of it helps, but it's still just, for me, it's an easy way to record it, easy way to find it versus finding a recording in Google Drive or wherever Zoom downloads or whatever. It's just go to the site. There it is. Share it. Yeah. You know, so
okay.
It's easy. It's affordable. It's good.
That's good. All right, Mickey, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
Find me at mickmel.com, MICKMEL. That's where I blog all the time and links to all my social stuff. And yeah, find me there. How about you?
I'm at adamjwalker.com. It's where I blog when I want to. And it's got links to all my socials and stuff there.
There you go. Awesome. Doo, doo, doo.